inviting you to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm asking your indulgence with me in this because I'm taking the last three verses for this morning, since this is communion day. And perhaps I'll back up and catch the first part of this fourth chapter. There is a message there that I would like to bring, but I felt to bring this one today at this particular point and then work the other one in. So I will be coming back perhaps to the first part of this, because this fourth chapter is a very powerful chapter in the book of Hebrews. So noticing from verse 14, 15, and 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So I've entitled this message, Our Great High Priest. And in these verses of Scripture, we have a summary of the message of the whole epistle to the Hebrews. And these verses at once show how infinitely superior Christianity is to every other religious system. It is superior because we have today a man in glory, our great high priest. Yeah. And if you look carefully at these three verses, you will see that they contain two exhortations, the one leading to the other. Notice these two exhortations. Let us hold fast, verse number 14. And then the other one, let us come boldly, in verse 16. And the glorious truths enshrined in these verses gathers around these two exhortations. And perhaps this is a summary of the whole message of the great apostle to the Hebrews. First of all, then, let us take this one. Let us hold fast. Notice that last clause of verse 14. Let us hold fast to our profession, the King James tells us. But actually, it should read, let us hold fast to our confession. Note this word profession. Actually should be interpreted, confession. You say, why should it be translated thus so? For we may profess what is not true. But the confession to which we are to hold fast is the confession to what we know and believe concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, we could profess one thing and it might not be true. But this is the reason that they say, let us hold fast to our confession. Our confession is what we know, what we believe, what we have experienced about the person and work of this great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And what do we know and believe concerning him? The writer tells us this. First of all, we have a great high priest. Notice the word seeing in here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. This refers you back to the second chapter and the 17th verse. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It refers you to the third chapter that I spoke to you on, and verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest again of our confession, Christ Jesus. What we know and what we believe, praise God. We have a high priest. This is what he's getting to us. And we have him now. Right now. He is my high priest. Praise God, he is your high priest. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God, he is ours. Thank God, first of all, we have a priest. And that is one who stands between ourselves and God. He represents God to man. And he represents man to God. We cannot go directly to God because God is holy and you and I are sinful. And God cannot come directly to us for the same reason. But we come to God and God comes to us through this great high priest. Hallelujah. So we have a priest this morning and we have him now. Standing, making the final connection between God and man and God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, my friend, the high priest stands between. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. And the second thing that he mentions is that not only do we have a priest, but he is great. This word refers to the dignity of his person and the perfection of his character. Notice in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter and verse 32, he speaks, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall save his people from their sins. And the third thing that he mentions about it is that he is not only a priest, but a great priest and a great high priest. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:26 gives you the picture. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And a little glimpse of what he was in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is saying to us in the first verse, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. I saw that high priest made higher than the heavens, lifted up, hallelujah, sitting upon a throne, if you please, high and lifted up, hallelujah, and his train did fill the temple. Oh, glory to God. He gives us your picture of how wonderful and how glorious he is, our great high priest. And this great high priest is Jesus. His name is central in every word. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Notice what he said. Notice what the Holy Ghost said. Jesus, the Son of God. This is his name. This he gives you the picture. And it refers to his perfect, sinless human nature. In Matthew 1:21, it said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the reference is to his manhood, his humanity. In 2 Timothy, in the 2nd chapter, in the 5th verse, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And because he is man, he is therefore fully able to represent all of humanity before God. Hallelujah. And to understand my needs and your needs and to sympathize with us on every every level, hallelujah, praise God, and to bring us into His presence. If you'll note in verse 14, 4, He said, we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Notice that, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got a priest this morning for whatever need you may have. You say, Pastor, you don't understand my particular peculiar situation. I do not care what your particular peculiar situation may be this morning. There is one standing mediator between God and man, and man and God, that was touched with your infirmities and was tempted at all points like you are this morning, inviting you to come. Thank God that He might be able to succor you, for He in Himself has suffered being tempted. Hebrews 2 and 18, for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Whatever your needs are, whatever the temptations, whatever the burdens of life may be this morning, the door is standing wide open, saying unto all humanity, we have a high priest. Thank God, a great high priest that's higher than the heavens, that stands between God's wrath, amen, and His mercy, willing and ready and able. Hallelujah. You know, this word succor means, as a mother takes the babe to her breast and satisfy the gnawing hunger and the gnawing pain that it has. If you hunger this morning to be delivered, if you hunger for the things of God, if you hunger to be succored by Him, He says to you, come now and find that mercy. This Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 14 tells us that He is man, but first of all, He is God. He is the God-man, and because He is the God-man, He can perfectly represent God and express the mind of God to us this morning. And if you want to know the mind of God, just come to Him, because He represents Him and He expresses the mind of God. And then, of course, our great high priest has dealt with our sins. Characteristic in the Bible of any great high priest. Of course, it isn't mentioned here in this particular verses, but it is, of course, the first important work of any priest, to deal with the sins of the people. And you see how Jesus is qualified to deal with our sins. Indeed, He has dealt with our sins. In Hebrews, that first chapter, in the third verse, I'll give these to you. He has purged our sins. And in Hebrews, the second chapter, in the ninth verse, He has tasted death for every man. In Hebrews, the second chapter, and in the 17th verse, He's become the reconciliation of the sins of the people between God and man. In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, if you'll notice, in the first three verses, by reason of this, it said, He ought as for the people, as also for Himself, to offer up Himself for the sins. In the seventh chapter of Hebrews, in verses 24 through 27, you say, but this man, because he ever continueth, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest he became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up a sacrifice daily, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. And then if you go in the ninth chapter and verses 11 to 14, you'll notice what he is saying. For how much more shall the blood of Christ, Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgression to them that were under the First Testament, that they which might be receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where is a testament? And there must also the necessity be the death of the testator. And he died for the sins of the whole world. Thank God. If you go to the 10th chapter and verses 11 and notice, and every priest standeth daily and ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. One offering, one atonement this great high priest made for the sins of the world. So Jesus, our great high priest, not only has concluded in making the atonement for our sins, but the Son of God has passed into the heavens. It means that he has finished his work. It means that he's gone up to the throne of God, where he now sits in dignity and honor as our living, loving representative. And now, as the writer says of this epistle, because that the Lord Jesus Christ has become our great high priest, in verses 14 and 15 of the text, and said he is now in the heavens, he's saying the second thing to us. Let us come boldly then under the throne of grace. And because he is there, and because having accomplished our salvation by going down in death, and having been raised again and having ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high, he said, let us draw near. Notice the text. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Praise God. And I want you to notice this second thing that he's saying to us. It is a wonderful verse. It indicates our response to all that Jesus has done for us and to all that Jesus has made possible for us. Seeing the force of this word. Watch this word there in that text. See, you have to study these closely to get the impact of it. And he said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Listen to it. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What we know, what we believe, what we've experienced in him. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now listen, let us therefore, notice that word, therefore, my friend, it means because of all of this that has transpired in verses 14 and 15, it means because that he's passed into the heavens, it means because he is the Son of God, it means because he came and was tempted in all points and suffered the temptation, it means because he came and died and has been raised again, is now seated at the right hand of God in dignity and honor and power. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Oh, I want you to get it. But the important word here for us to underline is that word come. Let us therefore come. There are several questions which we can ask here in connection with this word come. Therefore means because all of these things that have transpired in the past, in the life of our great high priest, let us come. Let us come. Verse 16. Let us come. Mark that. Put that down. Underline it a little bit. Let us come. Notice that word and the implication it has. Who? Who's he talking to? Who is invited to come? The answer is there. Let us. You meet so many people today that said, well, Pastor, you know, I've tried. I went up the altar and I prayed a little bit. And nothing didn't seem to happen. And I don't really know if that's for me or not. Who may come? Let us. We are to come. We may come. Every believer is to come. The way into the holiest of holies is open for all. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, listen. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Glory to God. It stands wide open. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit has given the invitation. Let us come because we have a high priest seated at the right hand of God the Father that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities and moved with compassion toward us. And is now going further, extending an invitation to you that are in any trouble or difficulty. Let us come. Hallelujah. That us includes you, my friend. It does not exclude anybody. Let us come. And again, he said in Hebrews 10:22, let us, notice this, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith so you may come. But you say, Pastor, how shall I come? He is saying, let us come, but how? We are to come. How are we to come? Are we to come up cringingly and with uncertainties of whether we shall be accepted or whether we shall get an answer or not? No. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace. And the word means with unstaggering confidence. This same unstaggering confidence that Abraham had when he had his big knife by his side, when he was carrying the bundles of wood up the mountainside on Isaac's back, and Isaac stopped him on the mountainside and said, Dad, I've been with you on a lot of these occasions, and you're going to worship God, you're going to sacrifice, you're going to make an offering. We have the knife to kill the lamb with. We have the wood to build the fire. But Dad, where? Where, Dad? How, Dad, is the sacrifice to come? And this man, unstaggering, the Bible tells us, unmoved, my friend, the Bible tells us, he staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't come cringingly. He didn't come uncertainty. But he said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb, a sacrifice. God will take care of this. Hear me this morning. God has given the invitation through the Holy Spirit. He has made the preparation. The throne has been set and the curtain has been rent, and it sits there today inviting you to come to this altar. I thank God, saying, my friend, that you may come boldly, hallelujah, with all confidence and unstaggering. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near. How, thank God. How, you say, Preacher, is this possible? Because sitting at the right hand of God, between God's wrath and his mercy, is the man Christ Jesus, who has tasted death for every one of us, and who has been through the temptation and the trial for every one of us. And you can come through him, and only through him. Amen. You see this picture? And Abraham said, son, God will provide. And from that day it is named Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Amen. Let us come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Did you ever, have you ever heard, have you ever had a testimony of any struggling soul that has ever made it to God's throne of grace and God there took the whiplash to him? God refused him? No, sir. When he comes to that throne of grace, there's mercy, because there sits the high priest obtaining mercy for him. Oh, glory to God. And he loves you, my friend, this morning. He brings you. Oh, glory. This does not mean, my friend, that we can come just carelessly or flippantly, but it does mean that we can come with absolutely positive assurance that for Jesus' sake, God will accept me and he will help me. Amen. God will accept me. Why? For Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. Not any of my righteousness or yours. If we could just leave that out of the picture and come as we are, without one plea, but that thy mercy was shed for me. God God will, for Jesus Christ's sake, accept me and will help me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, isn't it a strange thing that man thinks that he puts forth all of the effort and he goes out seeking and hunting after God? And this isn't so. All through the Bible, if you read carefully and look at this, God has extended the invitation. Come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. Come, take the yoke upon me. Come to the throne of grace. Come and find this help. Come, come. God has given you. Oh, if we could only let this sink in this morning and grip our heart and realize that there's the place where God wants us to come and to be met. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us come, you say, preacher. Yes. Who? Where? How? Where shall we come? Where shall we come? The answer is unto the throne of grace. You hear me this morning? We're to come to the throne. For Jesus is not only a prophet. He was not only a priest. But thank God he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Did you ever realize that why God has bestowed upon him all of the power and everything? Because he was willing to lay down his kingship in heaven and come and take up on him the form of man and die for me and you. He has done something that his father never did. His father died in his heart, but Jesus died the natural death that you and I died. We're to come to a throne. We do not come to the throne of judgment. If you look up John 5:24, and again Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that walk in Christ Jesus. It's not what he's talking about. My friend, for if we have been saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and we're walking in the light, we're not coming to that judgment. We come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, it's to the mercy seat. You know, they used to sing a lot about the mercy seat. They don't talk too much about it anymore. The mercy seat or being the altar. In 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We come to the place where he is gracious. And this is why we can come boldly, because we come to the throne of a king. It's made the atonement for my sins and for yours, and not for the sins of the whole world. Let us come, where? To the throne of grace. When? When shall we come? When may we come to this throne of grace? The answer is in the 16th verse. Notice this. To find help in the time of need. Never has there been a more needy people than today. Never have we struggled with the problems and the situations like we're struggling with them today. And friend, our answer is simple. It's at the throne of grace. Glory to God. All of the talking, all of the legislation, all of the rules and regulations and laws and everything else that we could lay down and try to enforce, it will not answer the problem. There's only one place to find the answer to the problem, That's at the throne of grace. No, if the church today ever recognized that we're in need more than we've ever been before, and we could all make our way boldly to that throne of grace to find help in this time of need. Glory to God. You know the reason we don't? Is because we don't think we need anything. We're like the church in Revelation. It said, I'm increased with goods, gold and silver, raiment to spare. I have need of nothing. He said, what? No, you're not, that you're wretched and poor and blind and naked. You're destitute. The church needs the power of God in it today more than it's ever needed before. We need it to combat the evils of sin. We need it, my friend, to fight the satanic powers that's pressing in upon us. You never realize, my friend, the battles that are going on today in every home and every hamlet across this nation. It is disturbed. People are unsettled. Their minds are unsettled. They're dissatisfied. And there is a yearning, gimme, 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 gimme. All these things are going, going, going like a mad race. And we're being caught up with them. Oh, if I could stop every one of us this morning and just bring us down to the throne of grace and said, oh my God, I feel the need of that voidness in my heart being filled with the presence of your power. I feel the need of faith. I once again take a hold of the fiber of my being. I feel the need of the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost so I'd be able to demonstrate a Christ to a world that is so black in sin today. My friends, we have a need, and we may come in the time of need. And that is in every time of need. Whenever we feel that we need pardon, whenever we feel we need cleansing or purity, whenever we feel we need assurance, whenever we feel we need comfort, whenever we feel we need strength or help of any kind, we may come at once direct to the throne of God. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to somebody else. You come direct to the throne of God to find grace and receive from the Lord Himself all that we need. Let us come. Why should we come? The answer is that we may obtain. You notice that? We may obtain. Now, it does not say that we may attain, but we may obtain. Not merely request, but when we come to the throne of grace, we obtain two wonderful benefits when we come to the throne of grace. And we are to come to that throne of grace that first of all, we may obtain mercy. Did you notice what he said? We may obtain mercy. Praise God. For the reference here is to our constant need of pardon and cleansing. And thank God this is always available. For in 1 John in the first chapter in the 9th verse, he said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, way back in 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter, he said if we had humble ourselves and confess our sins, he would hear from heaven and heal our nation and send us a revival meeting. So we need to come that we may obtain mercy. In 1 John in the 2nd chapter and the 2nd verse, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that we may obtain mercy. And this is what we need this morning more than anything else, is the mercies of God. We don't need the judgment of God, and neither do we need the judgments of man. We're too quick to pass judgment. We're too quick to criticize. We're too quick to condemn. We're too quick to forget that we're human and said, well, bless God, that's good enough for him. He ought not have done this and he ought not have done that. You wasn't in his position. You didn't walk in his shoes. You didn't sit in his seat. My friend, we need mercy this morning that we may love one another and pray for one another greater than we've ever prayed for one another in the past. Hallelujah. And it's obtainable. If we fail God, we can come and ask his forgiveness at the throne of grace. Notice, and I'll close, that we may find grace to help us. We may find grace to help us. According to Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, And again he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And then in the 12th chapter, he said, My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, let me tell you, church, this morning. Let me tell you, mother whose heart is breaking. Let me tell you, dad, whom the burden seems it's more than you can bear. Let me tell you, businessman today that's facing the chaos that is around us and the hectic hours and all that's going on in this world. Let me tell you, my friend, that there is grace sufficient for you and for me. Glory to God. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities." Why will you glory in these infirmities, Paul? He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many remember that 10th sermon that I preached to you? That's from this verse. Amen. He said it means that he covers me like a tent from the storm. He covers me from the rain. He covers me, thank God. Oh, that the power of Christ may rest, he said, upon me. The grace is always there, available and sufficient. But we must come to that throne of grace in order to find or to receive the things that you and I need. You can sit out there and be in dire need, but until you come, you'll never receive. And this is why some people say, "Well, Pastor, I'd get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Lord knows where I am. He knows my name. He knows where I live and everything, if he wants to give it to me." Well, brother, you'll sit there a long time with that attitude before you ever get it. But if you come,
that's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some people said, "Well, the Bible tells me that he knows what I have need of before I even ask him. And so there's no need." Brother, he's inviting you to come to the throne of grace that you may find or you may receive help in the time of need. We thank you, our Father, today because that you've given us this great high priest. The joy of the Lord within our heart and the fulfillment of the hope of God within the soul of man. And to that person today that is there having a trial, affliction, having difficult situations to face, and they're needy people today, Lord, let this go to their heart. Praise God. Let this invitation come to him, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit to draw. And they come, thank God, boldly to the throne of grace to find this need in the time, Lord, that they're suffering, in the time of agony, in the time of misery, in the time of difficult hours. And Lord, if they need comfort, let them come and find this. And those, Lord, that have never found you as personal Savior, they may have this inclination to come and find you, the wonderful Savior that you really are, to give that joy and peace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're standing on.